This is a CC Radio podcast.
Show me that list again.
Show me that list.
Don't pick that horror. Baby, here's a rom-com. Counting down 1, 2, 10. This list is ready to begin. Oh, as long as we've got some dick jokes, we've got the audience right in our hands. Paulie, you and me,
we gotta be
the luckiest dickheads. You know that we're assholes. As long as we keep on listing, we can take any topic comes our way. Asshole week to week,
suck my dick.
We got each other sharing the soundboard and balls.
Welcome to the episode 223 of the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews Podcast. Today on the show, we're going to look at all the reasons we're ashamed of ourselves. My name is Wayne.
And my name is Paul. Welcome to the podcast, we count down movies. And today, TV shows from 10 through 1. So you don't have to, because it's all in order of awesomeness.
Yeah, that's right, TV show. That's why Paul picked that.
The opener. The not often used opener.
Yeah, I forgot about it myself.
Maybe for the best, really. Anyway, today, top 10 guilty TV pleasures as set us by top-level patron, good friend of the show, Geordie Davidson.
What up, G?
Thank you so much, Geordie, for this topic. And we've gone away. We've made our list. Gotta say, this one was hard.
Was it difficult for you?
Really difficult.
Was it difficult because there was too many choices, not enough choices? You weren't sure what parts of your personality you were going to expose to the public today?
I hadn't thought about that part. But
no,
yes.
This is really... As I made this list... I dislike myself more and more with each choice. I said, oh, fuck. You know what? Yeah. Because the thing is, it's got to be a shit show that you like. You know it's shit, but you like it anyway. So what's that say about you?
Yeah. To a degree. Although this is the reason I struggled. If I start watching a TV show and it's shit, I stop watching it. So it's very rare that I get through a number of episodes or certainly seasons of a show if it's shit.
But you see enough of shows that you know what it is, and you know you like it for a while, but then it just became fucked. So, yeah, you're right. What did you like that was fucked anyway?
Look, we'll get to it in due course. A couple of things, though, we should get through as a little bit of admin at the top of the show we do each week. Let's start with something, though, that's a little bit different. And this is with big thanks to Shannon Martin, who's Director of Communications at Podbean.
Right.
And Podbean, our host provider, for featuring us in their Best Shows of Summer podcast.
Oh, how nice.
Yeah, so obviously it's summer in the States, and they put a big blog post up, featured ourselves and the Epic Film Guys, which is lovely.
Nice.
So, our sister / brother show, whatever, in the US.
He's the bomb.
Both of us on there in the pop culture category, so you can check that out in the actual app itself as well. There's a list of summer podcasts to listen to.
I shall do that.
Thank you so much, Shannon, and thank you so much, Podbean, for that. Next thing, the results from last week's vote.
Everyone, I had a look at this. Woof.
Yeah, it wasn't pretty.
It was not pretty.
I won, as you can tell from the...
But it was a...
Comfortably.
Rectum raping.
Yeah, it was 37 votes to me, 12 votes to
12.
Wayne.
I didn't think I would crack
two. He got the double figures. Which is Wayne and I probably have a bit of a laugh about whether or not we're going to make it when one of us gets hammered.
When it's a fucking landslide, yeah.
So very easy. So that makes me 9 wins for this year, 7 for you with 1 draw. Now, some of the comments as to how did this happen. Chris Uni said, Running Scared did not deserve the harassment and ire Paul gave it. Wayne misplacing the game is... Well, classic Wayne.
Fine for that.
Adam Lure, new patron of the show, said Paul for his horror picks. Yes. Luke Alexander said I had 2 of his choices. Chris O'Neill said, sorry, Wayne, but being a biatch who shits himself at the sound of balloon popping doesn't help when it comes to suspense and edge of your seat thrills. Better luck next time, pal.
I can probably agree with that too.
Grant Latham said, can Wayne actually still clench said rectum?
I think I saw that one and thought that was really good.
Quite a few people laughed at that one. Newest patron to the show, Ant Juan, said, Paul, for including The Sixth Sense, probably one of the most intense movies I'd seen to date at the time.
That's a clever name, Ant Juan. Yeah. I just got it. J-U-A-N. Very good. Yes. Very good.
Yeah. And then lastly, from Sai was our high-level, top-level patron to the show and a very good friend as well. Come on, Wayne, lift your game. You're getting your ass soundly kicked. You know that I always vote for you, but at this rate, I'm going to have to go to the dark side and start voting for Paul.
That's okay. You go ahead and vote for Paul because I'm not going to be, cranky the whole day because I lost or anything. I'm fine with it.
Doesn't matter, Dwayne.
Nope, it's fine. He doesn't care. I mean, it's easy not to care when you lose.
Who are you going to vote for? Are you going to vote for the person who puts his heart and soul in, or the guy's like, I don't give a fuck?
No, no, I put my heart and soul in.
Shit.
Yes. I just don't care as much about winning.
Welcome, soundboard, to the show.
Fuck off. Speaking of fucking not winning.
Take it back.
Yeah, suck it.
And then lastly, we need to check in regarding the movie watching challenge.
No, we don't, but you do. Go ahead.
Everybody wants to know.
I'm sure.
How insane has it gotten? And a big shout out to the CC Radio boys, Comic Confidential, for their show episode dropped this week. They had a big sort of pull apart of what's going on in this movie watching challenge.
Oh, God.
Go check that out if awesome. You haven't already, because it's been out for a couple of days before this one drops. I am now on 488 films.
Oh, my God.
As we progress towards 500. I really went hard this week, really hard, and might even have got it done. Nah, probably not. That would have been too much, but I was away the last couple of days and only watched one or two each day.
While he was driving?
Daniel Hendo Henderson from the IMDb Journey podcast, 410. So he has unofficially sent me a message to say, well done, you've won, but I'm not there yet for 12 films to watch.
Yeah, so see how, you know, close it all gets.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty hard to imagine he's going to watch 90 in the time it's going to take me to watch 12, but they are the numbers. And of course, our first person to 500 after me gets themselves a prize.
That's right.
Wayne, how are you going to design the coffee mug?
Oh, you're doing that? I thought that was a joke. All right, yeah, cool.
You're the one that said it.
I was joking. All right, fine. I'll work it out.
You insignificant product, little fuck.
Oh, shit. Okay, yeah, yeah. Look, if it's not that, I'll give you
there'll be some merch.
Yeah, I'll, you get it'll some be... of my pubes or something. I don't know, just something. It'll be like a collector's item. Okay.
Might be let your hair grow out a bit. That'd be even rarer. Cut one of those off, send them through.
Yeah, it would take too long.
All right, so very much. Next week will be the final reporting on the movie watching challenge. There will no doubt be a lot of gloating.
There'll be a lot of jizz in here, man. I'm fucking putting up scaffolding.
There could be.
Fuck it.
Well, that's it for all the preamble for the show. The admin stuff is aside. Let's get into it then. On the other side of this music cue, the top 10 guilty TV pleasures.
Top 10 guilty pleasure TV shows. Okay, wasn't expecting it to go like that. All right, pulling his damn soundboard.
That's the mixer, actually.
I mean, the mixer, yeah.
All right, so we've had a discussion about what this list means to us.
Yep.
I have owned up to not having, well, really struggling, to be brutally honest, with this list. So why don't I lead away with my number 10? Is there anything else you want to say? Or
I just want to say that I know... Just because I know there will be some comments about this.
Oh, God.
I know that after this list, you won't like me, and I don't like me either, if that makes any fucking difference, okay? You'll go, he what? Because I'm fucking bearing my soul with this shit. You'll see it from 10. You go, oh, you dumb bitch. Like that. But I'm admitting the whole
lot. So are you suggesting the listeners will think,
you are a sad, strange little man.
Yes, more so than they do now. If you can imagine such a thing.
I don't think anyone's going to be overly impressed with my list. Maybe for different reasons
I
than yours.
I think it would be good to bear your soul here and group hug it out. All right, let's go.
All right, well, my number 10 is the newest show on my list. Insofar as is the one I most recently watched. However, there is a newer show on the list, but I haven't got around to the latest season yet because of the movie watching challenge.
Okay.
Right. And you might say, well, Paul, how have you had time to watch any TV in the last 6 months?
That's exactly what I thought, Paul.
As it turns out, this was a show my daughter got into, and it became a bit of a daddy-daughter watching experience, which is weird given it is Ultimate Beastmaster.
What the fuck is Ultimate Beastmaster? What the fuck is that? Are you sitting me? Wait, what is it? What is it? A cartoon?
No, it's on Netflix. It's a it's like one of those like American or sorry, Ninja Warrior shows where you have to climb through these massive obstacle things, swing from shit, climb up, you know,
yeah.
You know, all that kind of like a and it's called The Beast. They have to work their way through The Beast.
Oh, so it's like American or Ninja Warrior kind of.
Yeah. What I just said, but thank you.
Sorry.
Pay attention to
I care. Know there's like a few of them, but whatever.
Yeah. So this one, which I've only seen the third season, which had 8 or 10 episodes, I can't remember, and it was featured as a, you know, America versus the world. So every nation had 6 or 8 competitors, including Australia and United States, Brazil, Germany, Japan, Mexico, South Korea, Spain, France, Italy, China, India, China. Some of those weren't in the third season, I should say, and Australia. Australia were just in the third season. Season one, Sylvester Stallone hosted.
Ooh. What?
I didn't watch that one. I watched the third season where the Aussies were in it, and the Aussies did fucking well. That's all I'll say.
Really? Well, I'm quite impressed now because I didn't think you'd go this reality TV route.
Well, so, it's one of two reality TV shows.
Oh, this is going to be fucking nasty because I hate fucking reality TV.
I guess it's reality TV. It's really it's a game show.
Game show is a bit different. You're right.
Yeah, so it's not really fair to call it reality TV. But my daughter got into it. It was good fun watching it with her. I know it's not good TV. With Danny Minogue and
is Danny Minogue in it?
Nick Cummings are the Australian what do you call it? Hosts.
Okay.
Commentators. So they have every country.
Yes,
and, I get and then it the commentators.
Oh,
all...
so it's like it's a knockout kind of shit.
Yeah, very similar to that.
Oh, damn!
Vibe. It's a knockout, very Australian show from about 30 years ago.
The Brits had it too.
Did they?
Okay. Okay, wow.
That's my number 10. It's not good, but it was entertaining.
That's a window into your soul there. Mm. Much like this one is for me. Get ready, folks. My number 10 is Saved by the Bell.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, that's Ooh. Right. Okay, so listen, anyone who doesn't know what this thing is, and I know all the Americans do know. Back in like 1992 to 94, every Saturday morning, there used to be this block of TV in the morning, which showed various children's programming. And being the early 90s, there wasn't a lot of Australian content produced kids' shows, so they used to play a lot of American ones. And Saved by the Bell is about a group of high school friends and their principal, and it's primarily focused on like it's a real cheap-ass show. It's a cheap show. It has like two leads, and for some reason, it's really, really weird because the lead guy, Zach, his Mark Paul Gossamer is in it, and two other stars that actually are stars now, Tiffany Amber Thiessen and Elizabeth Berkley from Showgirls.
Stars.
Yeah, I say stars with the air quotes, absolutely. but Mark Paul Gossamer, he weirdly breaks the fourth wall all the time and really, really cheesily, cornily addresses the camera, telling you what the shit is going on, and then he goes back to the show. And it's really shit, but for some reason, I have seen a shitload of these episodes. And this wasn't back in, like now. It's like where you can dial up a TV show. I had to be there on Saturday morning. So I don't know what kind of shit life I had after I graduated high school, but on Saturday morning, I was up and watching TV. So what can I say? It's a piece of shit, but it does have an odd cult following.
It's so shit. It absolutely does. And I have a question for you then.
Okay, go on.
Are you aware of the... Screech, is that his name?
Yeah, Dustin Diamond.
Diamond. So have you heard the stories about him?
Oh, well, he wrote a tell-all book of some sort about how people were hooking up on the show and this sort of shit. A little bit like a Brady Bunch type of tell-all book. I think he's actually trying to produce a movie of it.
Well, more than that, he got arrested for stabbing some dude all the way and went to jail.
Really?
Yeah.
Screech?
Yep.
Holy shit. Like
gangster and shit.
That guy was fucked as well. Like, he was 11 years old when he was on the show, and they didn't know he was 11 years old.
What?
Yeah. All these kids are like 14 and 15, and he's 11, and he's on the show. What the hell? So I don't know, man. It's all messed up and whacked up, but I actually oddly remember it fondly, and I know I have a problem. There you go.
Okay.
That's a piece of shit.
I've got a couple of old school ones like that coming up on my list as well, which people are going to be like, whoa.
I know, and that's why this is fun. So let's hear yours. What's your number 9?
These are guilty pleasures. We're not acknowledging these are good shows. Exactly. We're saying... they are things that we take pleasure from guiltily.
Totally.
All right, my number 9 is, well, arguably the best show on my list.
Interesting.
So if I had to present a show which technically it's well made, it's intriguingly put together in a different way, this is probably the best of the lot.
But you can tell me why you think it's shit, though, right?
Well, I'm really putting this on there because everyone else seems to think this is shit, and I don't understand why.
Let's hear it.
It's from the makers of Zed Nation, which... that's guilty pleasure TV.
No idea where that is. Go on.
Which is a really sort of sci-fi channel version of The Walking Dead.
Oh, okay. There it is.
Right. But it's played for laughs and whatever else. Whether or not it's the creators behind that show or not, I'm not sure, to be brutally honest. But they meant to make a prologue TV show about how Zed Nation started. And it was going to be called Black Summer. But then that changed the tone and made it really deadly serious. No pun intended. And it came out this year on Netflix in April.
What's it called?
It's called Black Summer.
Black Summer.
Yeah, 8 episodes. They're all 40 minutes to only 20 minutes long. It's over in a flash, and I really dug it. But yeah, all the reviews are like, yeah, you can skip it. Shit, fucking whatever.
I've never heard of this before. Wow, this is some obscure shit, man. And the people think it's shit because it's not scary, not zombie-ish, not funny, not what? What is it you like?
Well, I like the fact that it was so unpredictable. That they basically, the first episode is showing 5 or 6 different characters' point of views, and it like starts with whatever hurt the name is, Rose, bam. And the only recognizable actor is Jamie King.
Oh, yeah.
She is Rose. Wow. And the next one's like Julius and Martha and whatever else. And
yeah.
By the end of that first episode, one of them hasn't made it.
Okay.
So they off people
Oh, this is why you like
Game
it.
Game of Thrones regularity, yeah, yeah, yeah. But unpredictably and whatever else.
Yeah, this TV show is the TV show version of VHS show tapes that Paul used to rent from like back Blockbuster and shit, where they're like, no one's gonna fucking rent this, but Paul does. Interesting that you have such an obscure one, or maybe it's not obscure to you people out there, but I've never heard of it. So there you are.
Yeah, I know that Netflix and Swill Boys didn't like it very much at all, so at least Dan didn't, whereas I thought it was pretty damn good.
All right, once again, the clash happens, good. Mm. My number 9 is one of those trashy-ass VH1 type shows, right? And you're going to, I don't know how you'll feel about this, or even if you know about it. It's called Yo Mama.
Never heard
okay,
of it,
well.
Other than the fact that it's the start of a joke, which is why I suspect is the reason you watched it in the first place.
Oh, dude. All right, so check it out. First of all, it's hosted by Fez from That 70s Show. His name is Wilmer Vandarama.
Oh, yeah. Right? Is That 70s Show, is that on your list?
No, because it's a brilliant show. It's Doesn't not qualify? Guilty at all. No. That, I'll tell you how. I can tell you a whole episode about how good that show is. Anyway.
Please don't.
I know. Now, Yo Mama is basically it ran from like April 2006 to maybe 2007. It went for like 2 years, okay? But it's about, the way it works is that it's a game show. There's two players, usually filmed in a parking lot or on a basketball court or near a beach or somewhere, whatever. And each contestant has a crew of people around them. And typically the two contestants are from different areas within, I guess, LA, like Compton versus Eagle Rock or whatever. And they insult each other's mothers, right? And every time they do it, the crowd around them goes apeshit. Like, oh, shit! You know?
What? No.
Dude, here's what it is, right? That's hilarious.
I cannot believe this.
Dude, it's hilarious, man. They're coming up. Remember this. They have to write their own Yo Mama jokes. So you could go with, like, I think one of them was saying, like, just like, Yo Mama's so fat, when God said, let there be light, they had to move the bitch out of the way. or No, wait, it was all shit like, they had to come up with, like, Your Mama's teeth so yellow, I can't believe it's not butter. And all this kind of shit. One guy said, I don't want to burn down on you too bad, but the last time I fucked your mom, she gave me these. And he turns around and he throws live crabs onto the floor. It's really fucking funny.
I can't believe you're laughing at this.
Dude, story. It's class.
It's not class.
It's not class. It's not class. Sorry, it's not class. But after each one, everyone's like, oh, shit. And it becomes like that. And it's a whole thing, man. So it's not this like this civilized exchange. It's like, boom, oh, boom, ah. So it's fucking great.
Right.
If you all have seen it, I'm telling you, this shit gets funny. It gets real funny.
And you talking there, you reminded me of a show which I cannot believe didn't make my list. So I'm going to change my list up on the fly.
Oh, all right.
All right, so I'm kicking out what was number 8. I'll just honorable mention Battle of the Planets.
Oh, fucking G-Force.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the wait a minute. I guess you can't say it's good.
No. Was it Bebop? Keep-op? Key-op?
Key-op. Key-op. He was a little motherfucker. Yeah, so, tell everyone what it's about.
So basically, it's five friends. It's an anime show.
Anime, but like fucking
repurposed for American
Japanese.
Kinda,
yeah, and that's it.
And it's really, it was great when I was like 8.
I think there's 5 teenagers and one's a chick. Yep. So it's a bit like Star, what's he called?
Star Blazers.
No, that fucking, what's that Morph from Power Rangers shit? But they have like phoenix and bird motifs to their outfits and they jump out of a plane and they fucking skydive. It was cool back in the day.
Back in the day. But yes, I've seen snatches of it since and it ain't so cool.
I'll bet you were shit, eh? Yeah. I'll bet you would be shit because of, you'd be horrible. Anyway, that was cool.
All right, so that was going to be my number 8. So instead, my number 8, this is not the one I'm shuffling in higher up. My number 8 is Heroes.
Oh, actually, I'm a little bit on board with you on this one. Mm. This is one of the few shows I've seen every single
frame.
You
saw it all. I was out.
Good. I'm bad that I've
And I certainly didn't watch the rebooted one, which...
Oh, fuck Tim that. Krieg, I didn't go anywhere near that.
Tried to do 2 years ago, 3 years ago, whatever
that's
it was.
Right. That's
and
right.
We briefly considered watching for the show. Then the reviews rolled out. We're like, nope, fuck that shit.
No, that would be shit.
But the original Heroes, the first season, I will stand by as... Excellent television.
I agree. That is awesome. By the way, everyone, Heroes, please. It's about like basically ordinary people who develop superhero powers.
It's basically X-Men.
Yeah, basically X-Men.
Put onto a TV budget.
Yes.
And given completely different powers than what the X-Men have, so they're not recognizable. And kind of everyday people developing powers. Like you said, rather than being born with them, they kind of just suddenly come on.
Yes.
Seems to
as
be
though
the
there was some mutation. Yeah, it is totally X-Men.
Yeah, the cheerleader can't die.
Yep.
Then they wrote themselves into a corner, and let this be a lesson to all budding filmmakers out there. You cannot put time travel in your TV show / movie and think it doesn't change anything. They wrote themselves to such horrendous corners in that show.
It had absolutely come to shit. Even the second season was bullshit.
Well, the end of the first season is when Hiro time traveled back to feudal Japan from memory.
Yeah.
And that's where it all went wrong.
Exactly. And then they tried to, it was so shit. But I don't know why.
Sila died 73 times and always came back.
That's right.
Fucking ridiculous.
This would never happen now, but I, for some reason, stuck with it because I guess there was nothing else to watch. And then I watched everything. I thought, this is really shit.
You were slavishly loyal to that
show. I don't know why. And as I was watching it, I knew it was shit. Yeah. I don't know what happened. I don't know where I went wrong.
This is why it's low on my list, because it's a crappy version of X-Men.
It is.
Made on a bit of a budget, and then it wrote itself to such terrible corners that I hate watched the second season, and I think I was out early in the third season when Sila came back for the 73rd time. Yeah. That's when I'm fucking done. And I think it was 4 seasons before it got canned. I think you saw every single one.
I did. And you know what? The thing about it was that made it cool was that it was like X-Men, but no one had a costume. So it became like these normal people who turned into actual heroes, but they kind of didn't know, and villains as well. So that's what made it cool. And then it just jumped the shark immediately.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, so that's my 8, Heroes.
Okay, my number 8 is far more embarrassing. It's 2.5 Men. I told you I don't like myself.
Oh my God.
I told you I don't like myself. So 2.5 Men is about Charlie Sheen, who is a well-to-do bachelor that writes commercial jingles for a living and basically has the best life any man could have. He lives in Malibu. He's got this kind of mansion kind of place. His brother comes to live with him and his son, and after that hilarity ensues. Now, I don't know how to tell you this, but I quite like Charlie Sheen. I don't give a shit. I liked him all through his Navy SEALs years. I liked him when he was doing a bunch of shit and when he was a little bit older.
You've got some tiger blood in you, don't you?
Just want to be winning, Paul. No, I don't mind. I actually find him in this show. I actually find the humor. I'm laughing a lot. I'm sitting there going, sure, it's stupid. Sure, it's one note. And sure, it's a 3-camera sitcom. But I can't like deny that I laugh at this shit. And also, I think most of the lines are actually pretty funny. I'm sorry, they are. What up? So, yes, it's bullshit. But yes, I always laugh. Did you see the Megan Fox episode, Paul?
No, I did not.
Okay. Well, that's all I'm
saying. By the fact it's still funny?
I do.
If it happened to be on, you'd watch it now.
Yeah. Megan Fox one was on, I'd laugh at it.
Not Megan Fox, but anyone.
Oh, look, I didn't like it when Ashton Kutcher came on.
Right.
But I will say
that's where you're drawing the line, at the Kutch.
Well, I will say that the episode where they introduced him after all that trouble with Charlie Sheen was actually handled very well, how they introduced him. That's worth watching. But I don't really watch it after that. It's all the Charlie Sheen stuff that I watched. Right. So, you know.
So long story short, Wayne is Charlie Sheen fan and everything else is shit around that show.
No, John Cryer, the famous Teddy Z, that guy, he's pretty good too. And the kid I hate. I don't like the kid. So there you go. Okay. But I never like the kid, so what do you want?
All right. So that was your 8 as well. Am I correct in saying that?
I was indeed.
All right. My number 7 is the one which I think everybody in the Facebook listening community knew I was going to pick. The reason it's not any higher is because I legitimately think this is a good show. I think it's very well produced. I think it's exceptionally well made for what it is.
Then it's not a guilty pleasure.
But everyone else who doesn't watch this show thinks it's absolute rubbish.
Okay, let's hear it.
And I also acknowledge it's a reality TV show, hence.
Okay, on that basis, I could tell you.
It automatically.
Yes.
Right. I'm talking about Survivor.
Oh, fucking A. Fucking A. So you know what? Of course. By the way, Paul is the most fucking loyal Survivor fan. He's watched all 800,000 episodes.
Yeah, I haven't watched them all. There's a couple of seasons I think I missed along the way because I watched the very first one
entire season
back in the day. I've not watched this the whole way through. I got back into it about 10 years ago and every season since and managed to find a few seasons magically.
I did that with Lost.
And watched a few of those as well. But I think there's 2 or 3 seasons I haven't seen. But I think we're season 34. And by the way, the Australian version, this is fucking garbage. And it's not guilty pleasure TV. It's just fucking shit.
Yes.
But the original Survivor, we just have season fucking ridiculous. I don't know what it was. 38th.
38 seasons? Has that ever happened in anything?
No, that's filming dates. Yeah, okay. So we just said season 38. So season 39 is coming.
39? This is only 40 years.
Two seasons a year.
Oh, yeah, still
do,
20 years.
They almost. Do one in sort of kicks off in October and it runs to the end of the year. And then they kick off another one in sort of February, March, and it runs through to May.
Dear God, if you could articulate why this thing is still persists, because it's basically done what no other show has done.
Yeah, I guess it hasn't.
Even Cheers only lasted 11 other shows years.
No, the only thing that are comparable, like The Simpsons, is about
Simpsons,
the same length.
Yeah, Simpsons also.
In fact, it's double as long, but it has one season a year.
Yeah.
Some of the daytime soaps have lasted longer, obviously.
Oh,
as well.
That's a bit different, though. That's
They're
just
all
like
guilty pleasure. I mean, if anyone watches that shit.
No, I don't.
I don't.
Yeah.
But this one, they do keep reinventing. They keep adding different rules and the like and keep it fresh, which is smart.
It's really, really successful.
But I think it's Jeff Probst, the host, is a very relatable guy. He's the perfect blend of critical of people who aren't doing it, who aren't making enough of an effort, and really supportive of those That's who are and are falling over.
He must be making a fortune.
Oh, he would be on multi billions and billions of
boatload, man.
He's done exceptionally well for himself. I just think it strikes a nice tone. They generally pick a good cast every season as well, where some people are likable, some aren't, and you get to have your heroes and your villains every year.
You know, you're not the only one to sing this song. There are other people that I respect who also watch this show.
Wait, so other people that you respect, unlike this person.
No, gotcha. I think I was thinking about which way to go with that, but I also
I heard the pause.
I also respect you. I thought, no, that'll be funny. Yeah, no, it's a thing, and it's a lot of people that you don't think would watch this type of stuff do. So this is on board and very enough.
It's a real thing my fiance and I watched together, and we both dig it. So
it's a couple show.
Oh, in fact, last season, my daughter got into it too, so she started watching it and actually following along.
Oh, shit!
But now it's a family show.
Oh my God, I hope it never stops. Okay.
Yeah, well, it's coming back again, so we're really happy about that.
Nice.
My daughter was getting into it too.
All right. Well, my number seven, people, is a show called Burn Notice.
Yeah, I saw someone say that in the list, and I thought, yeah, but then I went, no, I didn't like it that much. I hate watching is too strong, but I was kind of just watching it because I'd started.
Absolutely.
Because it got so same-same and so boring.
Let's not forget, Bruce Campbell's in this.
Yes, that
helps. Okay, so that helps a lot, all right? But now, everyone, Burn Notice is a story about Michael Weston, who is burned. He's a spy, but someone burned him because someone put a burn notice out on him. That basically means, fuck you, you're excommunicated from the spy world and all the agencies, right? So he's stuck in Miami.
You are persona non gratis.
Exactly.
And that's the hook of the show, the first season anyway, is he's doing little week-to-week mysteries with the overall through line
to find out who burned him. Yeah. Right. I know. that lasts a whole long time. Now, like I said, he's in Miami, and I believe that is the reason the show is pleasant to watch. It's really sunny and nice and shot with a very vibrant filter. So I like that. It just makes me happy. That's fine. I get that. But what is shit about the show is, apart from what you just said, where it literally runs around in circles, the whole thing is, the conceit of the show is, every different type of possible spy espionage type situation turns up, and every single time, Michael Weston is an automatic expert on it. It's like, it could be like a bomb threat or a hostage negotiation or an arms deal or some shit, and every single time he's like, starts with, the thing about a hostage negotiation, the thing about disarming a bomb is, you know, all this sort of shit, he's just an expert.
Is it Jeffrey Donovan? Is that his name?
Yeah, that's right.
And he plays it so very, his voice is very deadpan.
He is. He's playing... It's odd. I wouldn't have picked him to be this guy, but he's got that sort of funny face where it kind of works. And the chick in it is Gabrielle Anwar, who was
Scent
of a woman, right? Only I gotta say, it's a little rough these days. But like, she's still she's still very pretty and stuff like that. But she starts with an Irish accent, and then it just becomes American.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a little bit of a laugh. So,
Quality show.
And, of course, Bruce Campbell. So, yeah, I liked all that shit. And it's one of those things where it's good to have on. Like, you will pay attention to it as much as you want to, and you don't care if you miss stuff.
Did they end up answering who burned you?
I don't know. I stopped watching. Yeah, me too. Okay. Can anyone tell us?
let us know how. I mean, we could just do a web search.
We could, but we're not going to do that. So if anyone wants to tell us.
All right, moving right along then. On to my number, what's that, six?
Yes.
A TV show which lasted one season.
Oh, fantastic.
One season only. And I got to be honest, the only reason I dug this show is because there's some hot looking chicks in it.
Now it's all coming out, people. Okay. Now shit goes down.
Yeah, you are right. I'm about to reveal something on myself here.
Please.
It's called Kevin Hill.
What the fuck is Kevin Hill?
Kevin Hill aired on UPN. Do you remember that? UPN was an old show which became...
Station?
What's Arrow and all that shit's on now?
Oh, CW.
Yeah, so UPN became CW.
That's right, Buffy was on UPN.
That's right, she'll move there after Fox got rid of it. This show stars Taye Diggs as the titular Kevin Hill.
Taye Diggs?
And it's a legal drama, right?
Oh!
And basically he's...
Really?
He's this smooth,
Taye Diggs.
He's an awesomely handsome man.
Absolutely.
Who everybody would want a piece of.
I want a piece of him.
Yeah, who doesn't?
Right.
And he basically... Shit goes down in the first episode or two, and he has to join the only law firm, because he used to be High Flyer, who will take him, which is this law firm of women.
Oh, it's great. So I love it so far.
It's chicks dressed in suits, which I like.
Who doesn't like that? Yep. Everyone likes
flexing
that.
Flexing their muscles in court.
And who doesn't like
teaching
that
teaching him lessons whilst he's good at his job.
Teach me, bitch.
He's a bit of a shithouse bloke as
person. Of course, because he's a man.
Yeah.
In a world full of women.
And so they're all sort of, that's how the whole show goes.
I'm really one of the intrigued. Women? I'm intrigued.
Christina Hendricks.
Oh my God, why did you just lead with that? Oh God, yeah, that's fantastic. So, what's it called?
Kevin Hill.
Kevin Hill.
22 episodes, got canned. It came right at the time that David E. Kelly sort
yes.
Ally McBeal's and Boston Legal.
Tay Diggs was in Ally McBeal.
Okay.
Yeah. So he's probably the same character.
It may even be. I don't know.
Because Boston Legal is the same universe as Ally McBeal.
It wouldn't surprise me.
And the practice cracker.
Yeah, all that shit.
It's so a bomb.
It was in that heyday 15 years ago and it obviously didn't take
off.
Oh,
what a shame. Christina Hendricks.
So there you go.
Okay, fantastic. My number six, everyone, is Glee.
Oh, jeez.
Okay, everyone. The gloves are off now.
What?
All right.
What?
Yeah. No. Yeah. No, you can. I can't defend it, so it's an odd situation I'm on.
This is low.
I'm going to tell you
this
all about
it. This should be your auto one. No.
You'll see what the one is. You'll know what it is, too. This focuses on a high school choir, also known as a glee club, in a fictional high school in, like, Ohio. And basically, it's this this teacher, takes over the glee club after the former teacher departs, and he's trying to restore the glee club to its former glory while also trying to pork another teacher called Emma Pillsbury. Now, the show...
Sounds awesome.
It's kids breaking into song. All right, it's kids breaking into song. I know you're out.
Which is why I never even tried.
I know you're out. I know. It's bad because it's corny and it's essentially just that. And the songs are produced. Like, it's just, they'll have the most wafer thin, like, premise for starting a song. Like, well, let's just say, boo, and this guy just starts singing, right? But. No, not scatting. Doing singing, right? It's a whole thing. It's a production, right? But I love the music from it because I like ironic covers and shit like that, okay? So I actually have heaps of songs from Glee on my iPod right now.
You're mocking me,
no,
aren't you?
No, and I prefer those versions to the original versions of those songs. Let me tell you, look up Teenage Dream by the Glee soundtrack.
Whoa,
absolutely. It's better than the Katy Perry version. I'm just saying.
Why is refusing to buy? Stop. Fuck you. I'm going to go on with
Yeah,
what
fuck
saying.
You, because your shitty soundboard is just it's like a comedy boner killer. So yes, I adore the music from Glee, and by extension, I don't mind watching the show either.
You are right. There is no way that you liking Glee so much could be anything other than hilarious.
So. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I'm saying. I wonder how many of you out there are like me.
What are Glee fans called?
Is there a name for them? I don't know. I guess it would. I don't know. Let's look it up.
Gleekers? Gleekies?
I would call Gleeks. I'd say Gleeks. Hang on.
All right, Wayne's going to look this up now while I vamp. What a list, hey? What a list so
Fantastic
far.
Fantastic vamping,
Paul. I think you'll agree there's some terrible Stop. Choices on.
Gleeks! It is called Gleeks.
Okay.
What's up, man? Yo, VIP.
All right, well, moving into the top half of the list then. I obviously can't follow that up, so I'm really not going to try too hard, except to say this is a classic which doth not stand the test of time. And if you want any proof as to whether I'm telling the truth or not, then you need only look at the movie which was made of this, which is a piece of shit.
Uh-oh.
I'm talking about The A-Team. Full disclosure, half the reason I picked this is because now I can run with the music.
Oh, good. Feel free.
1983 to 1987, former members of a fictitious United States Army Special Forces unit, they court-martialed for a crime they did not commit. They escaped from military prison and while still on the run, work as soldiers of fortunes. Well, what does the bit go? When you're in trouble, but you're alone, you may just
If
call.
You can find them,
yeah.
You can hire the A-Team. I'm glad we all did it with the second bar. That's good.
Starring George Peppard, Dirk Benedict, Dwight Schultz, and Mr. T.
I fucking loved the A-Team when I was a kid, man. I loved it. I liked M16s as a result.
5 seasons. Yeah, I'm saying it was great when you were a kid.
So cool.
Like, no, you wouldn't question anything.
Absolutely not. And no one ever died in that show.
And we all loved it when a plan came together.
Oh, dude. I wanted to be George Peppard. When I had hair, I thought about trying to dye it green.
A 9-year-old.
Yeah, and fucking smoke cigars and wear overcoats. It was the shit. And yes, it was turd, but you know what? My memory of it is that in the 80s, that was one of the finest shows on TV. Stephen J. Cannell was a god. He just knew all that shit. And you look at it now, obviously it's a ball sack.
Yeah.
But it was great.
But I'm not going to say if it comes on, I'll stop and watch it because I haven't seen it come on in so long. But I have such fond memories, but I know it was terrible. I know the whole premise was terrible.
Absolutely.
I know all the ridiculousness of it. And then they brought it all to the screen, or Joe Carnahan did in the feature film. And they updated it for 2013 or whatever.
I rewatched it. I rewatched the A-Team film.
The tank falling out of the
sky.
The
tank thing, it actually, if you kind of know it's going to be shit, it's a lot better. If you know it's supposed to be shit, it's a lot better. I don't know. I don't know what we're looking for.
It's this show, like, MacGyver's a spiritual sequel where you put them in a ridiculous situation they can't possibly get out of, and they just pull out welding torches and whatever else.
Or for some reason,
build a tank out of a car and drive through 50 dudes firing.
By the way, I loved that they always managed to get locked up where there's also a fully fixed workshop.
Yep.
Like, it's like, oh my God, look at these lathes and shit.
Terrible show, but a lot of fun.
You know what show was like that for me? Knight Rider.
Yes.
That was because
totally
could
be on this list.
Oh, it could. And you know what? Back then, David Hasselhoff would wear a leather jacket with nothing underneath. he just had it zipped down so it was a bit of hairy chest. I'm like,
you heard that right, everyone.
Who does that?
Wayne went straight to the wardrobe to justify
it. I remember even back then going, he's wearing no t-shirt. Anyway, all right, man.
That's my five.
My number five is, of course, I don't know if you want to play a music cue here, but you may want to. Dawson's Creek. I don't want to fucking wait. Okay.
I don't know that one, so I'm not joining in.
Dawson's Creek, everyone, is a show about hyper-articulate, wise beyond their years teen characters in, like, Wilmington or a creek somewhere. And at the time, high school shows had become a phenomenon in the past, but none of the series pandered to teens the way Dawson's Creek did. I watched it around, like, late 90s, early aughts, right? That's how it went to. And I used to go to someone's house and watch it with a bunch of friends. That's how nasty that was. You remember who? It was like Richard and fucking Jenny and fucking all them people.
I'm more ashamed at them than I am of you.
I think, well, at this stage, my cock's out. Like, you know about me, all right? But I adored the show, and I remember things about it. Yes, I was very in love with a character on it. Her name was Andy, played by Meredith Monroe, who has since gone on to be a bit part player in one Steven Spielberg movie. But you know, it's
meteoric.
She's also on a TV show for a while, but that got canceled. So, but the show itself, it spoke to me, and that's why when Smallville came along, it was like Dawson's Creek, only the Dawson was Superman, and it was the perfect show. And I like that one, so it's not on here.
Okay,
so, Dawson's Creek. Any fans out there? Anyone?
Oh, yeah, a couple of people picked it.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
The Creek, the big left the Creek. It was the show.
I think Billy from We Watch the Thing picked.
Oh yeah,
Dawson's Creek. So,
and we called it Dawson's Crack.
We did. We call it The Crack.
The Crack.
I never watched. Never saw an entire episode in my entire life.
You're kidding.
No.
You don't know what you're missing. Well, you maybe.
Oh, yeah, I do. All right. Well, I'm going back to my oldest and most classic choice here. British comedy at its not finest.
Oh.
But exactly what 7, 8, 9-year-old me thought was fucking hilarious.
Holy shit.
It was a wonderful lead-in to Doctor Who. I'm, of course, talking about The Goodies.
Oh, God.
Goody, goody, goody yum, yum. Yum. Do all the theme songs here.
Wait a minute. So The Goodies. Yes, I remember this. Of course I do. It was part of our childhood. I'll bet the American folks are scratching their head right now.
Yeah, so how do I describe The Goodies?
Interesting.
They're a trio of British comedians, Tim Brooke Taylor, Graham Garden, and Bill Oddie, and they did this show through the 70s and early 80s. I'm just trying to find how many seasons of this damn thing there were.
You know what? I'll bet it was like, because it was the ABC or BBC.
Whoa. 12 years this thing went for.
How many shows per episode? How many shows per season?
67 half-hour episodes through 12 years. So I guess they did 5 or 6 a year only.
Yeah, that's British TV.
Pretty standard for British. And they did a couple of 45-minute TV specials. Now, in Australia, it was pretty popular, and it ran at a 6 p.m. time slot.
It really was. We all
into Doctor
it.
Who at 6:30, which became sort of that hour of my night when the TV went to myself. It had to be cut, though, I'm now reading.
What? What do you mean?
To be shown at 6 p.m., they had to cut parts of the 25-minute episode.
Did they? Because it was too rude.
Too rude and racy.
Is there an uncut Goodies episode somewhere?
I guess there must be.
Holy shit. I must find them.
Yeah.
I'll probably be disappointed if I see it again. But
I think it did. They did re-air it in ABC 2 re-aired it like 9 years ago. It ran at 8 p.m. They could run all the episodes. Didn't have to be cut anymore.
Oh my God. So they are around.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Well,
so The Goodies, it's three British comedians. They're all, I guess, late 20s, early 30s, and sort of that maybe mid-30s age range. And they'll just get into ridiculous fucking adventures.
That's right. They all live together. There was like, you know, it was just stupid shit. But
really,
it was
like one was an episode about Kitten, which grows super-sized, like King Kong, and destroys London.
The Kremlin. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
Kitten Kong, that one was called. And
there was weird shit.
Another one where they got walled up concrete got poured outside their building. They couldn't
get
out.
Yeah,
and
they
just aged and were old men and died.
Yeah, and that was it. It was
weird.
And
the next episode started again. It was that level of sort of comedy.
Totally weird. And I'd say in tone, it is similar to sort of Benny Hill in places. Like in terms of like that. That's the kind of thing it was. But I haven't thought about this for a while. I used to always be the young ones. the people like went apeshit about the ape that Ben had been
on. Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah, you're right. And but then they also were musicians and they did their own songs.
That's right.
So they had not every episode, but I think quite a few of the episodes feature a song from them.
Bill Oddie used to sing a lot.
I think they all sang, but maybe Bill Oddie's the main.
Yeah, he kept on going, yeah.
So there you go. So that's the kind of show
the
it was.
The goodies. I'm interested if anyone's interested.
Terrible, like, terrible. No one mentioned it at all. I think my
No, because it's a real...
It's a real old, a deep cut.
Deep cut. Big deep cut. Okay, well, mine is not... My number four is not such a deep cut. It is How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah, now, my only question about this is it bad?
Yes. Let me tell you why it's bad, all right, everyone. All right. The series follows the main character, Ted Mosby, and his group of friends in New York, and... As a framing device, Ted, in the year 2030, recounts to his son and daughter the events that led him to meet their mother, and they just obviously flashback completely to now, when, you know, all their friends do their shit. Now, the reason it is crap is that there's only one character worth watching in this show. The other ones are shit. Ted is a bitch.
I would agree. Ted is the worst character.
Total bitch, right? You want to go down. Marshall is probably the
he's
next.
Fine.
He's fine.
Lily's fine.
Okay. The problem with the show is that it is written for schlock, man.
Robin Scherbatsky's pretty good.
She's great. She doesn't make a great Maria Hill, but she's great.
Yes. And of course, Neil Patrick Harris.
Neil Patrick Harris is the only reason to watch this show.
As Barney.
Okay? Because he's Barney and he makes all the gags. I laugh pretty much every time he's on screen. But the problem that I have with the show is that as much as I enjoy the gags that do land, and they're reasonably recent, like frequent, I mean, but it always goes into this, and here's the lesson from this episode, and here's the fuck, and it becomes schlocky. I hate it. I hate that part of it.
That's the formula for those kinds of shows.
No, there's like Seinfeld has an actual formula which says no lessons that was written in the brief, right? Yeah, and that is a fucking comedy show. Just make me laugh. I don't need to learn shit because I'm smarter than you. So it's that kind of shit that makes it crap.
Which they then ultimately paid off in Seinfeld by having them all locked away in the last episode.
Yes. All great TV. So, you know, you'll never see Seinfeld near this list. But that show, if it weren't for Barney, seriously would not have run so long. It was just crap.
It certainly ended terribly.
I didn't care. Spoilers for it. No, I won't tell you. But yeah. But making Barney just foul.
But I think it was revolutionary in the way some of the things they did on that show. Like having a through line of a joke like the slap bet run for seasons afterwards.
Agreed.
That's really clever.
No, there are absolutely reasons why I've watched every fucking frame of the show. Because, you know, it's a good thing to have on, I think.
Not that I want to come across like a big defender of How I Met Your Mother. I think it's an incredibly flawed show. But I'm surprised it's a guilty pleasure.
It's because I don't...
There's another show which could well be a guilty pleasure which just finished and I wonder if it's still coming.
I'm not sure which one you're talking about, but it wouldn't surprise me.
I will
mention
it at the end if haven't. Okay. I've got to try and remember that. All right. Okay, my number three then is a show which is still fucking going to this day.
Really?
But I gave up at least 7 years ago. I'm talking about Supernatural.
Oh my God. Wait, so when did you give up?
Season 7 or season 8, I can't remember.
And how many seasons now?
15.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Did you know that you go on, please.
It was originally written. It was written by a guy named Eric Kripke. And he envisioned the show to be 5 seasons. And if you watch the first 5 seasons of this show, there's a point where it should have ended right there at the end of season 5. Would have been a perfect 5-season show. People would have praised it to the nth degree.
Yeah,
it was awesome.
Yeah,
like it had its filler episodes.
I've seen a few episodes of this show.
But every so often they do a really funny side episode. I think I've shown you some of their sort of mates that are ghost hunters and UFO hunters. And,
yes, I have seen them, and those were good.
And it's got a really strong cast. I think the two brothers are all perfectly, Jared Padalecki and Jensen Ackles, and women and men who are attracted to men will fight till the end of time at which one is the hotter dude.
It's definitely Jensen Ackles. See? There you go.
I don't know. I reckon Jared Padalecki is pretty hot.
You and your fucking long-haired louts that you fuck. All right. See? It's all over the place. Did you know I heard that those guys, because 15 seasons of a show means you're a multi-millionaire?
Yeah, number of seasons, 14 says here. So maybe that's, I incorrectly read there. 14, 307 episodes of
that's
this show.
Huge. That is huge.
Because it's still one of these fucking old archaic things. Does 20 to 22 episodes every year.
But that's what's weird about it is like, no shows have that kind. They have to keep going for 14 years, you still have to have the same audience. So which audience is watching this thing for 14 years?
I got out when they defeated God was a bad guy. I'm like, what else can you fucking do?
Yeah.
Like the devil's on their side. God's the bad guy. I'm out. I'm done. Not because I have any religious issues with that, but it was like God's gone away because he couldn't give a shit about you monkeys anymore.
Yeah, so what's next after God? Yes.
And it's been not just one or two more years. It's been fucking 7 more years.
You know, those guys bought a jumbo jet and it's just for them. Like an actual jumbo jet, not a private jet.
Good on them.
I say great. Yeah, absolutely.
Jared Padalecki in the Friday the 13th remake again recently.
Oh.
And, you know, he's a big buff dude who occupies a frame with Jason Voorhees and holds his own. So
okay. Hmm. Well, you know, good for him. So, all right. Supernatural.
And of course, in it was Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Yes.
That's kind of cool as well. He keeps re-popping up, even though he dies in the first episode type thing. So, yeah, that's it. Supernatural.
Okay. I guess guilty I should have expected that one would be on your list. Fair enough. My number three is also a guilty pleasure, which is similarly something that I might say that you wouldn't. It's the show Suits.
Ah, yeah. A couple of people name this, and I've never seen it.
Okay, well, let me tell you about Suits. It's a show about a college dropout stoner dude named Mike, who happens to also be kind of a genius. In fact, he's so smart that he takes law students' bar exams for them for money, even though he's not a lawyer. And he ends up running from the police or some situation into an interview session for lawyers at New York's biggest law firm, which is run by Harvey Specter, which is Gabriel Macht
from guy. Spirit.
Yeah, who's the hottest, wickedest lawyer in New York. And long story short, Mike becomes a lawyer illegally because he never went to college, and Harvey Specter covers for him because he's really cool and he respects Mike's genius. And the reason, and the show goes from there, it's all set in New York. It's all very, you know, suity, corporate, this, that, whatever. Obviously, I like that shit.
It's got a what do you call it on it? A royal.
Megan. It has now. Meghan Markle is a princess now.
Yep.
I don't know if she's still shooting that thing or going.
No, she's out.
She's like, fuck you, I'm royalty.
Like Grace Kelly, once she married Prince of Monaco, she was like, I'm not acting anymore.
Exactly. Well, why would you? I mean, the reason it's shit, though, is because even though it's well-produced, quite well-written, the jokes that land are good and the character development is relatively good, but it has them pulling a win out of thin air. Like, just go, oh, well,
two sex winner.
Yeah, like sort of, exactly.
Deus sex winner.
At the end, it's like totally like fucking, you know, oh, well, we're just going to buy that debt from you. And then now we're in control. I'm like, dude, that doesn't happen within the one season, you know. Yeah, that takes forever. So that's the reason it's shit, but I still enjoy it very much. And they do say shit and asshole in this show, which is a bit weird because they don't completely. I think I heard one fuck. I could have heard one fuck. Just one.
Okay.
But it's network, so here you go.
All right, then. Well, my number two is a film which is still running. TV show which is still running.
Uh-huh.
It's had two seasons. The third season's just dropped onto Netflix. And I'm looking forward to watching it when this fucking movie challenge is over.
Yeah.
It's called Slasher.
Slasher.
Yeah. Slasher is a Canadian anthology horror series, which was initially meant to be a one season, which premiered on...
What the fuck do you even hear of these things?
This US network called Chiller.
Okay.
On March 4th, 2016. And it was 8-10 episodes. Can't remember. And basically created by a bloke named Aaron Martin. And it's a self-contained show. Like American Horror Story, it's all over and done with by the end of the first season, so you know who the killer is and the killer's been dealt with.
Okay.
Season two, Netflix then gets interested and they pick it up, and the second season dropped end of 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And it was called Slasher Guilty Party.
Yeah.
And that's a different set of characters and a different mystery where they're getting picked off one by one until the ultimate killer is revealed.
Okay.
So and now the third season's another one set in a
apartment
block.
Is all different people?
Yeah.
Obviously,
because
everyone died, yes.
Yeah. Every season's a different group of characters. It's just united by there's a slasher killing people one by one.
Is it the concept you like?
Yeah, and it's good fun. Like, it's trash TV.
Okay.
It's fine, I guess, how it's made, but it's exactly what it sounds like. No one's a really great actor.
Oh, okay.
It's not really well shot. It's
yeah,
just
you like
fun.
It.
Yeah, it's a total guilty pleasure, and it was originally my number one before I remembered, as we started recording today, what my number one really should have been. So,
as a clinician, can you tell me what you think it is people like about horror movies? And what it is you think, like, is it that they enjoy the jump scare? Is it the fright? Is it the dread? Is it the fact that killing people makes them feel more alive? I don't know. What is it?
People, all the above. Some people like to be scared.
Yeah.
Some people like to try and work out the mystery, because it's a mystery. It's like, you know, who's opting these people?
Okay,
what's the rationale for that?
Yeah.
And some people just like seeing gory kills, or a combination there of the above, in my case.
Yes. Okay. All right. Well, you all have issues. So
that's my two. What's your number two?
My number two is The Big Bang Theory.
Yes, that was what I was
thinking.
There
it is.
That's what I was referring to before.
Okay.
Thank God it's on your list, because at one stage we were going to create a whole segment around you just defending this fucking
absolutely,
show.
Absolutely. Absolutely. By the way, anyone who doesn't know, and I can't imagine anyone does, because this is the most popular TV show in the world, or at least it was until it ended a little while ago. It's about these two nerdy physicists and their friends who all have this really high IQs, and then they also love Star Wars and Star Trek and shit. And they're all like professors in this like uni. And this hot woman, Penny, moves in next door, which is, you know, to everyone's delight except Sheldon, who doesn't understand social relationships and is borderline autistic. Now, I think. Paul put me onto this show, everyone.
Oh.
That's right. Okay, because I used to never watch it, right? And I used to think what everyone else thinks, which is this is shit and this is cheap humor and it's just one line and it's always playing on pop culture and this and that. I agree, by the way, with all of that, okay? Then Paul says, yeah, I actually watch it, and I actually watch every episode. Like, you, because I just watched it when
I did
it was on.
For 3 or 4 years.
Yes, and I'm like, really? So then I start to watch it, right? And and I've seen every frame of this thing. I've seen the whole thing.
Whereas I saw the light and got out.
Yeah,
Wayne actually, has clung to this
I've
sinking
liked it source, way
or
more.
Perhaps it should be rising out of the ocean submarine.
Well,
given
look,
the popularity of this
I've
thing.
Enjoyed Bernadette and stuff in it, and she's like the blonde one who yeah. You know.
With before the speaky voice.
With the speaky voice, exactly. So even the later episodes, to me, not so bad. However, I do also, again, once again, I find myself laughing my ass off. Yes, they're making pop culture references over and over and over, but guess what? I love that shit. Look what I'm doing. I'm doing a fucking movie TV podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I stand resolute.
Absolutely. So I understand that. And by the way, before you pass judgment on this show, look up Howard Wolowitz doing Nicolas Cage impersonations on YouTube, okay?
It'll change your entire opinion of
the whole
show. Then
just tell
show.
Me that. It's fucking class, all right? I'm telling you, that's some good moments right there. So, you know, universally despised. I understand some people think it's cool to hate this, you know, you bunch of hipsters out there. I don't know, right? But I maintain I love this show, and I'm quite happy for you to know about it.
All right, there you go. Well, let's do a recap then of our list before we reveal our number ones.
Why not, indeed?
Kicking off with me then, obviously. My number 10, Ultimate Beastmaster. Number 9, Black Summer. Number 8, Heroes. Number 7, Survivor. Number 6, Kevin Hill, that well-known show which all of you have heard about. Number 5, The A-Team. Number 4, The Goodies. Number 3, Supernatural. Number 2, Slasher. And my number 1, Guilty Pleasure
it?
TV show is undoubtedly, and I'm really annoyed it took me, like, till we literally sat down and my brain suddenly kicked into gear. It's The Pickup Artist.
I never saw this show.
Man, you have to go back and find this show.
Okay, so hang on. I've read the book by Neil Strauss called The Game, which I believe this is based on.
Yeah, so the guy who wrote that on, his name's Mystery, right?
Yes, Mystery.
Yeah, Mystery, or as he's really known, Eric von Markovic.
Okay, and what's the show about?
The show is basically taking 9 or whatever it is, 10 contestants who are self-proclaimed shithouse at picking up. So guys.
Yes,
right?
Dudes.
Who are ranging from incredibly awkward through to really, really ugly and fat and have no chance with women whatsoever.
Got it.
And Mystery is going to show them how to become
the pickup artist.
The ultimate pickup artist. And join his cadre of literally 3 or 4 dudes who travel the world with him picking up women. It is awful.
Oh, God. Dude. Okay, first of all.
The concept is misogynistic. The concept is sexist and mind-blowingly bad.
It is. It is.
Yet, I cannot deny the awkwardness of watching these guys try
that would
fail
kill me.
With
that
women.
That would kill me.
Is compelling television.
All right. Well,
to say nothing of how much I hate Mystery and his whole shtick.
Absolutely. Now, anyone who I have read the book. The book is called The Game by Neil Strauss, okay? And he maintains there's actually an underground world of pickup artists who actually have techniques. They discuss methodology. They basically talk about the ways that you get women. And one of them is the negs thing.
We won't go into
it's
all
a long
things,
story,
but
yeah.
He does teach them a technique or put them in a situation where they have to test something he's taught them, and the person who does the worst is out.
Ah.
So they get whittled down through the 8-9 seasons till we get to the ultimate pickup artist.
That's just, and how does it end? Like, oh my
God. It ends with him adding that dude to his, like I said, his cadre of wingmen.
Really?
Uh-huh.
And the guy who wins, is it like, what is he like?
I honestly can't remember.
Does he become cool like at the end of the movie or no?
It probably helps. It was around the time when I was single. So.
Absolutely. I've only heard of this show, but I'm interested now to know what his mystery looks like.
2007, 2008. He looks exactly like the biggest douche you can possibly imagine.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense because women like douches.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
So yeah. First season, 2007. Second season, 2008. I probably watched it in 2000. Yeah, probably 2008 I watched it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's going to happen. So did you pick up any particular tips from Mystery?
No.
Because that shit won't work.
None that I applied.
Let me tell you a story. I was once in a motherfucking like bar with Scott and 3 other women, all right? Some dude just fucking sidles next to me, between me and Carol, right?
Oh, that's right. You told this story.
Yeah, and he goes, Well, and he just starts talking, and he's talking to me. Now, that's one of the rules in this thing. If you go to a group of women and guys, always talk to the men.
Yep.
Right? And I'm like, okay. And I'm actually saying, I'm about to say, who the fuck are you, right? And he goes, oh, just join you if that's all right. And he fucking just sits down. And it makes the entire group table just go, what the fuck?
Uncomfortable, yeah.
And we ended up saying, dude, I think you're making us uncomfortable. I think you should leave. I said that shit to him. He goes, oh, I'll just leave you to it then. I'm like, yeah, that's what I just said. And he fucking gets up, stands for like 3 seconds, then leaves. It was the most embarrassing shit I've ever heard. But he was trying that shit on us.
Yep.
So anyway, it doesn't work, everyone.
Yep. Again, I'm not saying it works. I'm not saying I picked up anything. I'm just saying it was compelling.
No, it would be
garbage
compelling.
TV.
It would be compelling as hell.
And I think a worthy number one.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Oh, here's my 10 to 1, everyone. My number 10 is Saved by the Bell. That's right. Number 9, Yo Mama. What? Number 8, 2.5 Men. That's right again.
Do you need some help with the backing?
Yeah, why don't you help me out? Okay. Yep. Number 7, Burn Notice.
Hey.
Really? That's what you're doing? You know what? I'm good on my own. 6 was Glee. I'm not going to do it anymore. 5 is Dawson's Crack. Number 4. 4 is How I Met Your Mama.
Legend, wait for it.
Derry.
I'm still waiting for it.
Keep going. I see. Okay, go for it. Oh, I see what's going to happen here. Number 3 is Suits. Oh, I thought you were going to say Derry in the middle. Okay, there it is. Oh, this shit was well oiled, let me tell you. My number 2 is The Big Bang Theory. And 1 is, of course, Sex and the City. It's actually pretty apt. It's not bad. Okay, people. I've spoken about this in the past. Oh, I think one of the listeners called me out on this, said this is definitely in this top 3. Absolutely. I once spent a New Year's Day with my ex watching not one season, but every season of Sex and the City all day. This show...
What kind of hell... What had you done wrong to deserve
I'm
such
telling
punishment?
You, I wanted it. This show is the easiest show to watch.
Was she tonguing your balls at the same time?
No. Oh. It was New Year's Day, Paul. Everything was done, my friend. You can't do shit New Year's Day. Anyway. yeah, look, I maintain that this show, which is about... The reason it's bad is it's just about 4 whining whores. Right? And it's... They're just fucking pissing and moaning about everything, all right? And the reason it's... The reason it's good, though, is that I was told by my sister that the things that happen in this show are hyper-realism or, like, fantastic versions of things that women actually deal with, except they make it, like, big and huge because it's a TV show. Now,
Wait, so this is about 4 whiny whores.
Look, I honestly watch the show, and I dare anyone to give me a more accurate description, okay? By the way.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And this, look, the show is great to have on while you're doing something else. In fact, people, here's the best application of this show. Get a dual monitor set up on your computer. On the right monitor, put Sex and the City, let it run, okay? On the left side, play like Shadow of War or something. That is the best possible application for the show, and it's perfect because you can check in and check out whenever you want. You don't need to be completely present. I think anyone watching a movie challenge might fucking can agree with that kind of thing. And that's...
You've watched a film whilst also loading up screens.
And beating off, exactly. Plus it was 90s, you know, and it's very like...
Not that old.
Yeah, it ran from fucking, when is it? 98 till 2004.
Okay.
So, you know, and don't get me wrong, I haven't seen the movies or anything. Actually, I saw the second one, it was okay.
Please.
It was all shit. It was shit. And I know it's shit, but I love it. And I'm happy to tell you that.
So, now, my number one, which you had a little aside. Your number one, I have a little aside. I once dated a woman who said to me, which one of the Sex and the City girls am I?
Oh, what did you say? Wait a minute. Let me... which one did you say? You have to say... You can only say Charlotte or Miranda. No, you can't say Miranda. You got to say Charlotte.
Well, yeah, because apparently she said, I gauge whether or not I'm going to have a second date with a guy on how he responds to this.
And what did you say?
I can't remember what I said, but I said, fuck, I hope it's Samantha. I thought that.
Did you say it?
No, I said.
Because you can kill with that line.
No, I said, obviously. I said, well, clearly, I'm thinking you are more whichever the...
Carrie.
What's Kristen Davis?
Yeah, character? She's Charlotte.
Charlotte, yeah.
Yeah.
That one, you know. But I'd take Samantha.
Ow! See, because you still stabbed at it. Now, did you get a second date?
Yeah.
Yeah, motherfucker. Someone knows how to chew. That's right. That's how it is.
Pick up artist at work.
Who's the fucking man? No, all right. So you are mystery. All right. No, that's good. But I really do feel about this show like this, okay? It's the shit. I will happily own a box set.
Well, you're right with one of those words.
I'm telling you, it's fine for watching.
Okay. All right. Well, look, there is our list as fully revealed. Who got it right? Who got it wrong? Who's closest to what you believe is guilty pleasure television?
Did you have any honorable mentions?
No, I had none. Okay. Apart from now Battle of the Planets.
Let me just kick mine out, right?
Yeah, just run through it quick because we are running a little bit long.
Castle, Bones, Dating Naked, Sledgehammer.
Whoa. Rewind. Yeah. Dating Naked.
You haven't seen Dating Naked?
No.
Oh, dude. It's basically people turn up on this island and they turn up naked and they, oh, we're going on a date together. And the camera crew car follows them around. Now, they do blur out the dick and the Furburger and the Tay-Tays, but...
What's the point?
Because they go on flying foxes where this woman, she met him 3 minutes ago. She looks directly at his dick. Like, this women just look good. They just have a good old look, right? And then they go on a flying fox where she has to sit on his dick. That's got to be a... Like, that. It's compelling. I'm telling you, it's compelling. CSI Miami, The Mentalist, and Herman's Head.
Herman's Head.
I really liked that show.
I'm surprised Max Headroom didn't get a look in.
Oh, God, that's a piece of shit.
All right, that's our list. Thank you very much, Wayne. Let's hear then from the listeners in the segment we call The Pop 10.
Talk about
Pop 10.
Talk about
Pop 10.
Kicking off this week's list with Joey DiCarlo from the So Wizard podcast where I was on a couple of weeks back. Do check out that episode. Number 3, any anime.
What?
Number 2, 90 Day Fiancé. Not the first or last time that gets mentioned. In fact, it is the first, but not last.
I am unfamiliar.
Obviously never made it here to Australia, but I'm surprised that one of the networks he hasn't picked that concept up.
I know some girls who could fucking talk about that.
And number 1, Dance Moms.
What?
I don't know. I've never seen it.
Okay.
Sally Vaughan, top level patron to the show. Hey, Sally, how you doing?
Sally.
Controversial, this list. Seinfeld, MASH, and Game of Thrones.
Whoa. None of those are guilty pleasures. Oh, my God. Seinfeld is a great show.
That's a bingo.
In other words, I agree with Wayne. Sally, I only called you out for GOT, but I think all those shows are well regarded.
Yeah, we love you, but come on.
All right, Stephen Burns said, just two to report. Not sure if it counts as a guilty pleasure, but Supernatural. Many people don't know about the show, but the fandom are fanatics.
Yeah.
He said 15 seasons has to count for something. And this is one that almost maybe could have made my list. And I think you watched it as well. The League.
The League is a good show. I actually don't think it's a guilty pleasure. It's cheaply made.
I can see it's a guilty pleasure. Okay. Bunch of friends hanging shit on each other, loosely formed around a premise that is basically forgotten about after a season 2. That is fantasy football.
Yeah.
And fantasy NFL.
That's why I thought you'd love it.
Sounds like most of my favorite podcasts, he said. Very nice. Luke Alexander just had Entourage.
I think Entourage is a good show.
Yeah, I don't think it's guilty.
The movie
pleasure was
not.
No, the movie's garbage.
But the show itself, well handled. Mm, even though it's about some very hedonistic shit.
Mark Harris, also in the Facebook listener community, link in the show notes, said The Ranch, The Flash, and Burn Notice is his number 1.
Burn Notice, son, there break you yourself.
Blake Jarvis, good friend of the show. 3, Cobra Kai, never watched it. I saw the first. Yeah, we did. We reviewed the first 2 episodes. I haven't seen any more than that.
Oh, I saw the whole thing.
In season 2?
No,
not yet. Okay. Number 2, Norseman.
I've heard of this show, but no.
And number 1, Survivor. Good on you, Blake.
There you go.
Tim Cormack over on Twitter had Round the Twist.
I remember that.
Yeah. Farscape, which got mentioned quite a few
times. A lot of folks like The Muppets.
Yes. And Married with Children, which I warred with. I decided it was too good to put on the list.
We used to dig the shit out of that back in the day.
But you watch it now. It's probably a bit like The A-Team.
Oh, it'll be exactly like The A-Team. Yeah.
Okay. Stephen from Super Retro Throwback. Number 3, CSI. Number 2, Rocco's Modern Life. Number 1, Beavis and Butthead.
You guys like that, not me.
Yeah. Mike and Oscar podcast. Frasier. I'm white and I grew up in the 90s.
No. Frasier's excellent. Mike. Come on now, Mike.
Sorry, also, Mike. You're in a bit of trouble here.
I know it's a show about white privilege, but still good.
Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. I'm fat and grew up with Italians, he wrote.
Okay, not heard of that one.
And X-Men, like recently. I'm 35. I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid.
Oh, all right.
Kid, sorry. Yes. Billy, aforementioned from We Watch The Thing. Patron, good friend. So do check out We Watch The Thing. Great show. 3, Scream Queens, the best reality show of all time. 10 actresses compete for a role in a Saw movie. So trash, but so good. I would watch that show.
I'm surprised it's not on your fucking recent list.
Number 2, Dawson's Crack. Pacey is King.
Pacey is King.
Sorry. And number 1, Just Shoot Me. It's like Friends, POV cousin.
I think it's a good show.
But it always brings me joy.
Oh, it's a really good show.
Hmm. Good Times, Great Movies had Antique Roadshow. And I'm under 65 years of age.
No, that one's not bad. I actually don't mind that one either.
A face mainly your mother could love. Sailor Moon, curious, thought it'd be like Ronin Warriors with titties. Also, thought they were college chicks.
Is that the cartoon?
Yep. Number 2, Power Rangers, don't judge me. Number 3, Tokyo Wankai. Please don't look that up.
Wow, I feel better about myself. I feel great now. Thanks, bruh.
Girlfriend from Go Watch a Movie podcast. Number 3, Fixer Upper. Number two, Orange is the New Black. And number one, The Golden Girls, Fight Me, he put in brackets.
Dude, Golden Girls is great. It's a great fucking show.
I did say I don't think The Golden Girls really qualifies as guilty pleasure. Duty from Shaken Not Nerd. Number three, One Tree Hill, though he said he stopped after season 5 or 6. That's definitely guilty pleasure.
That is totally a thing.
Number two, Housewives of Beverly Hills. And number one, Married at First Sight. I know.
The last Married at First Sight, not the recent one, the last Australian one, was actually really good.
Okay. You watched it?
Only because all these people I go to dinner with watch it, and if I didn't watch it, I had nothing to talk to them about. So I ate all the recaps.
You can't handle the truth!
Jeez. Get your follow from the Retro Cinema Podcast. Do check them out. Wonderful show doing films of the 80s. Botched? Dr. Pimple Popper? Obviously about these...
Yeah, fucked up plastic surgery and shit.
And Diners, Dive-Ins and Dives, and she added Married at First Sight and Ice Road Truckers.
That is reality TV. Yeah. Like the quintet, man.
Julio for the Contrarians Podcast said, I'm a sucker for Gordon Ramsay shows, but Hell's Kitchen's the only one I'd say I'm a little ashamed to watch.
Okay.
Kev, previously from the Something Something Podcast, now has their own radio show in the UK. Love Island. It's trash, but it's addictive.
I actually did sort of see that, a bit of that, and I agree.
Chef Ben Randall from the In the Weeds Podcast, another good friend to the show. The Deep, a Canadian-Australian co-production kids show about a family that explores the ocean in an improbable submarine animated. If I have to watch one of my kids shows, I hope it's this one.
Wow.
Number two, The Flash, CW's DC flagship.
A lot of people like that one.
And number one, The Great British Baking Show, which makes F because Chef Ben.
Mm.
So much kinder and grosser than any American cooking competition show. Also, their accents are silly and charming.
Nice Ben. One.
Jeez, Ben. All right. Nicole Presley. Number one, MTV's The Challenge. Yep, the best. Number two, Sister Wives. Don't we all secretly have a deep down desire to do something like this? Anyone, Bueller? I don't know. Never seen Sister Wives.
What is that? Yeah.
Mm. And number three, any of those story shows, like all of them.
Stories shows?
Storage.
Oh, God. Wow. Yeah. Deep cuts, Nick.
Nick Spinarski, welcome back to the group. Been a long time since we've heard from you, Nick. Number three, Glee. There you are.
Yes.
Number two, Dawson's Creek. And Word. Number one, Big Brother.
Shit. I get it, though.
Ashley Gorski, who's a good friend. We love Ashley.
Ashley.
These aren't guilty pleasures because I'm not ashamed of them, but The Real Housewives of Atlanta, New York, New Jersey, and every other city.
Nice one.
Second to last one from Chris from the Faces and Aces podcast, known as The Green Korean on Twitter. A bizarre Canadian reality show called The Skinny Dip.
Mm-hmm.
Host Eve Kelly shows up in a town and tries to convince people to hike with her to a remote location in the wilderness to skinny dip with her.
No.
It's strange, quirky, and hilarious. I'll let Wayne have a look at the picture to see whether he wants to watch this show.
I'm torn. I'm Natalie Imbruglia. I'm not sure. Maybe.
It's not a lock for Wayne. Thank you for that, Chris. And lastly, from the man who created this list today or suggested it, Geordie Davidson.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, Farscape. The writing can be bad. The acting can be bad. But man, this show can be fun.
Wow.
Number two, Babylon 5. Another spiritual child of Star Trek that is more fun than good. And I'm there for it. And number one, Leverage. If they made Ocean's 11 into a TV show, this is what it would look like.
Whoa, what was that?
Leverage.
Yep. I'm looking it up then.
I really enjoy the character development over the show, and I rewatched the whole thing pretty regularly. And he said, honorable mention to all the police procedurals, especially the British ones. I have a problem.
Fair enough. Nice one, son. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Geordie. Thank you, everybody. We got inundated. We couldn't keep up with all the responses this week. We really, truly...
Sounds like we tried.
Really, truly do appreciate it. It's important, I think, to shout out those ones. And we move through them pretty quickly. That is it for episode 223 of the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews Podcast. You can submit your list, how, Wayne?
Just Google the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews Podcast and you'll find us, or give us an email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com.
We're on Twitter at TheCountdownPC. You can check us out in the Facebook listening community where we are most active. Link is in the show notes. We host our show through Podbean. And indeed, check us out on the website for our network, CC Radio, which is basically ccradio.com.au. Check out the other great shows on the network, including Troy and Cade's Comic Confidential.
All right.
That is it for this week. As I said, Wayne, what's happening next week? 224.
We are doing the top 10 future set films.
That's right. With some guests.
Guests now.
Jason and Pat from the Binge Movies Podcast are joining us. I've had the pleasure of joining Jason a couple of times to review films. In fact, Jason and Pat the first time around.
Mm-hmm.
So going to reciprocate, have them on the show. And it was their suggestion for a topic which we're quite keen on. So it'd be a little bit some familiar stuff, some different ones, I reckon.
I think.
And for future set films.
Very nice.
So that's going to be a lot of fun. Check out Binge Movies in the meantime. All right, that's it.
Thank you very much, folks. That was the shizzle.
It has indeed been.
I hope you don't feel so, I hope you still like us, is what I'm saying. I hope you still like us, because I would understand if you didn't. I get it.
Yeah, they might not respect us, but then I don't think that was ever an issue.
No, that was never happening. That's fine. I don't need that.
All right. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And this has been The Soundboard. And you listeners are...
Sure.
Didn't
sure.
use it today.
Sure.
Need to get it in.
Why not? Why not?
Catch you next week.
See you, kids. I don't want to wait for our lives to be over. I want to know right now, what could it be? I don't want to wait for our lives to be over. Will it be? Yes, or will it be? I don't want to wait for our lives to be over. I want to know right now, what could it be? It's been a while since I heard that one. Welcome to the countdown. This is episode 223, and the countdown. Yeah, fuck! Sister Scott! Can I, is there any chance I could just keep all this?
I might put it as a blooper.
Ah, tits.